This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
You are listening to a BTB Tuesdays podcast with Ben, Tom and Bram. My name is Bram and I'm going to shoot over to Tom.
My name's Tom. Thank you for tuning in to CineFM 90.7. You're listening to the podcast and my, oh my, Daisy Day. We had a wonderful discussion of all sorts of things stemming from when we've got lost somewhere for high expectations, which were downpoured by things that, just expectations that didn't live to expectations.
And Tom bared his soul with a confession that none of us saw coming. It was actually quite touching, really. So you're going to find out what that is later. And I had a bit of a battle with the Vietnamese pork roll. More info on that as well. That happened last Thursday. That was unbelievable stuff.
Indeed.
It is a big podcast ahead. Plenty of laughs, plenty of great times.
Plenty to chomp into. Make sure you plug into social media as well on Facebook and Instagram. But first and foremost, enjoy the podcast and thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Good morrow! Greetings, salutations, top of the morning, and welcome to Get Serial at 6 a.m. We are so happy that you have gotten up with us, and you're going to trek with us into your day with us on the radio. My name is Tom and I'm joined by
Bram
and
Ben,
and we are here to give you a fantastic show. We've got such a lineup of wonderful things to talk about. Some of the things we will talk about, things we regret purchasing. What is something you have regretted purchasing and it's sitting gathering dust in the corner of your room? Are radio plays too indie and should they be mainstream again? All things that we'll talk about in the future, maybe or maybe not. We most likely will. But for now, Everybody Knows by Kimbra. This is 90.7.
Sin acknowledges and pays respect to the owners of the land upon which the House of Sin and Studio stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. We would also like to acknowledge that we are operating on stolen land and that sovereignty was never ceded.
Gentlemen, I do have to mention this just off the top of my head. I was pondering when I was walking through the CBD the other day, what time period would you ideally like to have grown up in and experienced? So I'll go first. For me, I kind of wish I lived in America in the 1980s. I absolutely love the music that was taking place at that point, especially the birth of this thrash metal movement from 1983.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Metallica, Anthrax and Megadeth and all that kind of stuff. I would have loved to have experienced that. Firstly, I would have grown my hair out really long, even though the more I think about that, that's kind of questionable because my hair doesn't grow long. It just gets thicker and it just into... Yours too?
Mine's quite performance if I don't cut it.
You know what? I feel like the mullet is actually sort of making a comeback. So, like, you could sort of work that long hair in now if you wanted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed it more and more.
Yeah, I just figured the only way I could get away with a mullet is if I listen to Violent Soho and Foo Fighters, but otherwise perhaps not. But, Tom, I pose the question again. What time period would you ideally have liked to have grown up in?
I think there's a few ways I think about this, and one way I think about it is science and the technology of the time, and I think two places that really express this well is ancient China. So I think there's a lot going on there, not just in science, like the way they made things, but politics as well, mainly for ancient Greece. It'd just be really interesting to observe all of that, and not too much in the scourge of it. But if we were talking about time travel, I would go back and meet a past version of myself, and the two of us would go back and meet past versions of ourselves and have a dinner party. That would be pretty great. But if I was to take the answer seriously, it would probably be those two time periods.
Oh, okay. So this is actually a pretty easy question for me to answer because I sort of feel like there's no time like the present. Just sort of apart from the fact that this does feel like the right time for me to be born and growing up in. I'm in the studio with all of these lovely people, and it just feels so right. I would honestly not be anywhere else at the moment.
And to be honest, Bram, I don't know about you, Tom, but I feel like just us being in the same room with you, we've just become far more hip and trendy.
Oh, my God.
Which means it does somewhat leave us when we head back outside, but I think you're... swagger and your style, it's definitely brushing off on Tom and I as well.
Absolutely. Aww. 100%.
Well, she had a massive show at Splendor in the Grass, and funnily enough, a bit of a wardrobe malfunction. You might as well call it a bit of a supercut, especially to the back of her dress, which is also appropriately the title of this next track. It's Lord's Supercut here on Get Serial Tuesday's Sin 90.7.
Hi, you are listening to Get Serial Tuesdays on SID 90.7 FM. So those two total rippers were Lord with Supercut off of her 2017 album Melodrama and Carnival with All I Know off of Sound Awake from 2009. So what we are talking about now are things that we regret buying. We, as humans, aren't completely sort of, you know, we're not perfect. We will have moments where we walk into a store, look at something and go, I want that.
Story
and a week
of my
later,
life.
Just like, nah, I'm not feeling that anymore. So that's sort of what we're discussing at the moment. I'll pass this question on to Tom. What do you regret buying, Tom?
I think there's more instant gratification where you buy something, and I get this a lot with two things in my life. Actually, three things. The biggest one will be food. I am a bit of a foodie, and people who know me know I love a sneaky HSP or something that's a bit more flavoursome. But the other two big ones are books. I devour books. I go to secondhand bookshops, not eating them. But,
just had to clear that up there.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a bookworm, so I'll wiggle my way in there. But I also buy a lot of CDs as well. When I see it's new, when I see it's discounted, I go, yep, that's mine. And I'll probably listen to it once in a year and go, look at it on the shelf and go, oh, yeah, I bought that 12 months ago. And then try to listen to it again.
Now, I think it, when collecting comes so bizarre that you're looking through what you have and you don't even remember buying it. And I think especially the op shop brings the worst out of me with stuff like that as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I find you always want what you don't have. So for me, I love game consoles. And of course, there was one, some company that Bill Gates is part of.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't have the newest one that they were offering. And I was like, yeah, there's probably half a game on there that I'd be interested in playing. But of course, like the ads and so forth got the better of me. This was back when I didn't drive. So I remember I went all the way down to the local shops, had to catch a train. It was raining like you wouldn't believe. And I tried to get this thing home. And instead of what a normal person would do and you just bring the console inside and open up the box, I rushed inside and had to grab a towel and just start trying to dry the thing because I thought it's not going to work.
Oh, God.
It cost like $600. The bad news is I really wasn't a fan, and it's just been sitting on my shelf collecting a lot of dust, which is a little upsetting.
It's a sad story, Ben. It's a sad story.
Yeah,
I know. But, you know, this is what happens when you just get a little obsessed with things you don't have. So I've eased off over time. But there is definitely a lesson to be learnt there. So the following track is by a group called Churches. They just played Margaret Court last night. And I was tempted to go, but this show starts really, really early.
Yeah.
So had to decide against it.
And if you have anything that you regret buying, make sure to let us know on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, everything. Under the tag Get Serial. You're listening to 90.7 Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram.
Welcome back to the station. That was Churches, Heaven and Hell, Up All Night by Alex Clare and TV by Eves the Behaviour. You're listening to 90.7 with Ben, Tom and Bram. And fellas, I really want to bring a topic that I'm quite secretly passionate about, and I want to ask you guys a question. Radio plays, they're this thing that existed before TV was around. They were a method of storytelling. They were a method of, I guess, the early dinosaur age of podcasting, if you like. But they're also really good at telling stories, and I love these things. My question is, what is your opinion on audiobooks, audio plays, radio dramas?
Oh, I actually just remembered something that I was discussing with a friend a couple of days ago. So we were talking about like radio plays versus podcasts, and I sort of feel like they're both fairly niche things at the moment, but sort of in the sense that it's like, you know, they it's just sort of like risen from the ashes out of nowhere type thing. I do feel like radio plays are somehow like more niche than podcasts in that like there's something kind of surreal about everyone tuning in at one time to listen to this one thing, and like in a medium that sort of like had a death but is sort of having like a
this
rebirth.
Weird resurrection.
Yeah radio plays are the Jesus of media.
Absolutely,
there we go.
It's really funny because I grew up listening to Bill Cosby on the tape and listening to his jokes and the Goon Show, things that were prolific for like that kind of early age podcasting, if you like to use that phrase. But later on, I really got into this storytelling method of radio plays through stories like Doctor Who and Sherlock Holmes, and I discovered a really good spin-off series of Oscar Wilde's Dorian Gray, and all stuff like War of the Worlds, all things which I've devoured through and through. And this idea with a book where you have to imagine the picture, every perception of what every listener imagines is going to be different based upon their imagination, and that's what I love about them.
Here's why I think the radio show format is pretty much dead. It's equivalent to me saying I'm going to tune in and I'm going to watch a movie, essentially. If you catch it halfway through, I think you've missed way too much vital information. People live very, very busy lives now. I just want to hear some non-scripted dialogue on the radio, you know, a bit of music, bit of this, bit of that. And I just feel like it's such a commitment, especially on a radio show of all things, to just sit there for 2 hours and listen, which is why I think with the current mediums being able to download an audiobook and so forth, I think that's a much better modern way of getting around.
Well, you've heard it first on Sin 90.7 FM. Radio is dead.
Yeah, perhaps. And that new Church's album was called Love is Dead. It should have been called Radio is Dead, I think. No, not at all. I'm just saying the radio play format, I think, is a thing of the past. Am I wrong by thinking that, Tom?
I think it is definitely something that is of the past and prior to television, and something that's tried to exist through television, but it's much more superior because there's a lot more to do with it. But what I think my personal tie with it is that you can do anything. Like, you don't need a budget. You just need a good studio and a good cast, and you're able to deliver it well.
I personally feel like the way that a radio play would really be successful is, like, it's already a niche. Go, like, full niche. Have it at, like, weird hours in the morning when only certain people are awake. And
like me.
Yeah, and it's like, they will listen to this every time because they're always awake at this time. And they just feel like the people that would be into it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think to our listeners listening right now at this very early hour, you do not need to worry. As we listen to this track, Don't You Worry by the Electronic Fields. This is Sin 90.7.
Hello. Good morning. Greetings. Hope you're well. You are joining us here on Sin 90.7. It's Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram.
G'day.
Gentlemen, the question has been asked, are you going to continue this 80s cheese theme for this week? Like, in terms of, we choose a track that's slightly a little bit cheesy, but I absolutely love to bits. Now, spoilers, I'm about to talk about the track we're going to play. We're going to play Huey Lewis in the News in just a couple of minutes. Now, I read earlier in the year that Huey is actually suffering from hearing loss on stage.
Oh, wow.
So his big North American tour has actually been cancelled until he can work out how to get his hearing back.
No way.
I went to one live show at the Forum on Saturday night. I saw Machine Head. It was very loud. They played for 3 hours, which is one of the longest gigs I've seen. Wow. No supports. And I had earplugs in the whole time. I was at the front getting bumped around. I've taken out the earplugs at the end of the gig, and my hearing out of my left ear is not back fully. It's been 3 days now, and it's still pretty dodgy.
It's a little scary, isn't it?
It's been so bizarre. So when I realised that the headphones in the studio I'm using are only working out of the left ear this morning, I'm smiling more than you can imagine. So have you ever had any issues with your hearing in the past?
Well, that's sort of like my best bit of advice to anyone who sort of feels like their hearing might be at a loss. Give it time. If you've given it time and it's still lost, like, Sorry. One of the first shows that I went to when I turned 18, and it was actually, ironically, the loudest show I've ever been to, was this Japanese sludge metal band called Boris. They came down for their 10-year anniversary of their album called Pink. It was the one that put them on the map. Their support act was actually pretty good as well. It was called Tangled Thoughts of Leaving. And I went with a friend halfway through, when the supporting act finished, I hung out with him. Ended up losing one of my earplugs, which is the worst thing that you can do for this show.
Yeah.
And it was my right ear. I recall it being my right ear. I lost hearing in that for probably about a week. But it's back now, and that's all that matters. Take care of your ears, people. Take care of your ears, Melbourne.
That is correct. Take care of your ears, because if you can't hear, you can't listen to our show.
Yeah.
And you can't listen to any music.
And we've got some great content.
What did he say?
No.
I was pretending to be deaf there, but I'm not. I have a rather polar opposite story where I had to have a health examination for some quite strenuous work that I have to do. And I went into this booth where they give you this set of headphones, and they say, whenever you hear the beep, just press this button. Mm. And I was like, right, gotcha. So I was in this secluded booth for about 2 minutes, and every time I heard this beep, I just pressed the button. And this nurse came back with the record, and she goes, my goodness, this is the best test we've had in years. And it was quite funny because I didn't think my hearing was that great, but apparently it is.
Well, that's always good to know. Hearing, it's kind of like the power of love, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is the track coming up by Huey Lewis and the News here on Sin 90.7. But don't go anywhere. At 7 o'clock, we got April with the news. You're joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays. Ben, Tom and Bram, Quality Radio.
Have you ever lost your hearing, by the way? If you have, then you don't need your hearing for this. Tell us on social media. Tell us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat on Get Serial. That's our handle.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Hello, 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 Melbourne. Top of the morning. That last track that we had before the news was Serenity by Godsmack. Serenity now for all the Seinfeld fans listening out there. Top of the morning to everybody, because it has been a wonderful morning here so far. We have talked about things that we regret purchasing, and we've talked about some other things as well. We've talked about radio plays, and we have confirmed that radio is dead. So what we've got in the next hour is when we've misjudged something, what Tom has dreamt about last night. This is becoming a bit of a regular segment because Tom has some pretty wild dreams. And our favourite TV and films. Favourite artists of TV and films. The next track that we've got playing is Queens of the Stone Age by... Oh, no, it's The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret by Queens of the Stone Age. And make sure to listen... Wait, make sure to let us know what you think and connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram with the handle Get Serial. And just a word, just plugging our sponsor as well.
My goodness, you're joining us here. Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Bran on Sim 90.7. It's fascinating to me that Queens of the Stone Age, for that all these years, they're still so popular. I think they've kind of won over those indie hipster kind of fans as well. Not just those Triple M listeners from the early 2000s. Anyway, we're going to move along here. That was their track, firstly, Queens of the Stone Age, the track The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret. Tom, I have a bit of a discussion here this morning.
Yes, Ben.
When did you, and Bram, of course, when did you misjudge something? Now, for me, personally, I was so stubborn in high school. I will not get Facebook. I will not be like everybody else. And then I got Facebook and realised how helpful it was for Messenger and so forth, and that's kind of taken over texting now in a certain way, hasn't it?
And you've been active ever since.
Yeah, well, if I see something funny, I can take a photo and send it and all that good fun stuff. Tom, when did you misjudge something?
I misjudged something very recently, and I quickly assumed things, which is probably not the best trait of mine. But When I catch up with my girlfriend, we go to the same cafe quite regularly, and I always assume the time that she gets there, we do early morning coffee at about 7, but we're doing one in the afternoon, and I'm normally the first to get there, and I walk into the cafe, and I go to the area that we normally sit, and I'm sitting down, and I look around, and I go, oh, she's not around, there's nothing to worry about. I'll just wait until she comes. But what I didn't realise, the way I misjudged the situation, is that she was sitting behind me on another seat with her laptop, and she had her hair back, and she was wearing reading glasses. But I didn't recognise her.
Oh, really? So how long before you realised?
It took me 5 minutes to realise.
5 minutes?
And she came up to me and she goes, I've been sitting here all this time, and I felt so terrible.
You know, that dynamic kind of reminds me, you could have reenacted a scene out of Bold and the Beautiful. Like, they never look at each other. They're always, like, facing the other way. See, if you'd known that.
The good thing was I was very easily forgiven, so it's in the past now, but we look back and chuckle on it.
Yeah, that's all we can do, look back and laugh.
I have something that I very severely misjudged, actually. This might have, this could have just happened maybe 3 months ago. I was out clubbing and saw this person, and we were like he sort of gave off these vibes that like he was interested in me, and we were just sort of hanging out for most of the night. I ended up we ended up getting food together and stuff. I sort of shouted him and actually transferred him cash for it. And it wasn't until the end of the night that I realized that this guy was just hanging out with me so that he could get a cab fare home. Yeah, it was really bizarre, and I only figured this out when he got into the cab, and there was another friend of mine who I had actually seen earlier on in the night, and he sort of confirmed to me, he was like, no, this guy is known for this, like, he's known to swindle people, out of cab fare money so that he can get home. Yeah, it was a really weird night. Yeah.
It's a bit of a mix of the stirring pot.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful experience last year. I got a last-minute ticket to a show and to see this act named Montaigne. And opening was this great Sydney artist called I Know Leopard. And they were just... I'm not going to say it was life-changing because that's going to overdo it. I had a very good time. It was a very enjoyable set. This is a track from them. It's called Picture Perfect right here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Let's go!
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Sin 90.7 FM, Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Those two totally amazing tracks were Picture Perfect by I Know Leopard and Cadence by Fractures. What we're going to be talking about is, well, what I'm going to be talking about is what's been on my mind this week. So I saw a film yesterday. It's called Lost in Paris. It's so cheesy. It's like...
Really?
The only way I can really describe it is it's sort of got this, this segment's probably going to be for the film snobs out there, just a quick warning. It's sort of got that magical realism of Amelie mixed in with the, wow, we're in this location and we're trying to do everything that we can to say we're in this location of La La Land. Romanticizing it. Yeah, yeah. There's this one character in this film. His name is Dom, and he's sort of like, he's like a vagabond, and actually ends up finding like the bag of the main protagonist. Her name is Fiona, because she actually like falls in the River Seine when she's getting a photo taken of her with the bag, and the bag like sort of the bag like separates from her when she's in the water. He finds the bag and just sort of like digs through it and steals like her yellow sweater and her purse, which has like a lot of money in it.
Oh, dear.
And it's really weird because the next scene is him eating at this like fancy like boat restaurant, and Fiona's also there as well. There's this one scene that I really enjoyed because of how like it just felt like destiny. Like these two characters are in the same restaurant. And there's music playing because someone's wired up speakers, which are, like, right next to where Dom is sitting. Like, there's this really long scene where the cable man is trying to hook up the speaker. And, like, sort of Dom is very much in the way. He's, like, at the sort of... He's at the table that you'd expect him to be at. Like, every time someone's going to the toilet, they open the door, it bumps into his table. Yeah. So they end up playing music, and it results in Dom, like, shaking whenever the beat starts, like, boom, boom, boom. And this, like, drives him to ask everyone in the restaurant to dance with him. He goes to everyone in the restaurant before he goes to Fiona. And because, like, she's Canadian, she can't speak French very well, she can't react fast enough before he pulls her up for a dance. And it just results in this, like, incredible 5-minute dance scene where, like, he's sort of walking around and, like, nabs, like, a sip of champagne from another table.
And, it's a bit cheeky.
Yeah, a little bit cheeky. Dom does kind of have a place in my heart. And when they're sort of talking after they've left the restaurant, one of the things that Fiona says to him is, I've got that exact same sweater. And, yeah, sort of finds out later on that he has stolen her purse as well, because, like, it's a very sort of unique one. It's, like, gold chain, like, fur purse. Yeah, he's a really interesting character, and he's going to be on my mind for this week, possibly for quite a while.
And just curious, how did you find that film? How did you hear about it?
How did I hear about it? I literally had a look at what was at Cinema Nova yesterday, because, yeah, that's just sort of how I roll. It's like let's just throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
It seems like a lot of art house kind of films come to Cinema Nova. It's the first kind of point of call.
Yeah, yeah. And with good reason. It's I read it.
Now, the track we're about to introduce. Tom, do you remember the final James Bond film with Roger Moore?
I do, yes.
A View to a Kill?
Yes, it's one of my favourites.
Yes. Now, you know Christopher Walken's in the film?
Yes.
Do you remember that Grace Jones is in the film as one of the
What, really?
I'm not kidding. That's... So when Bram said, I'm playing some Grace Jones, I said, I've got to give Tom that pointless bit of information.
Oh,
it's Grace Jones. Oh. Pull up to the bumper right here on Get Serial, Sin 90.7.
Thanks for the news, April. It's 7:31 and 56 seconds at the moment. But April, we've got a question for you. We asked this to the guys before. When is a time you feel like you've misjudged something or a situation or someone?
Well, I was listening to you guys talking about this and trying to think of a good story that I would have to tell, and I have actually got a good one. Just the other night, I went to my aunt and uncle's house for dinner, and they're very into, like, fancy-type food,
yeah.
And they like eating pâté, which I've never eaten before and never really thought was that appealing, and I've often said to people, I will never eat pâté in my life, but my aunt brought it out for me and was like, April, you have to try some. And so I did, and it was wonderful.
It's really
so,
nice, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and so that's definitely something that I misjudged.
Everybody loves pâté, and everybody loves Sin FM as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to head to another song, but tune in because everyone is flying as high as a group of kites. And this song is called Fly by Devin Townsend. You're listening to 90.7.
That was Fly by the Devin Townsend Project off the record Ghost from 2011. That album is so calming. It's so nice on the ears. And interestingly, shout out to one of my friends, Sam, who actually uses that album to fall asleep pretty much every night. He just absolutely loves it. And it's not because the album's so boring that it just puts him to sleep. It's just so soothing. It's very nice and calming. It's relaxing. Tom, we had an incredible response to this topic last week. We simply had to bring it back. I don't know whether I want to ask or not, but I'm going to dare to. What on earth did you dream about last night?
Well, Ben, last night was an emotional roller coaster. It was a bit of a corker, if I say so myself. So I had a dream that I was in this ward, like a hospital room, and I wasn't bandaged up or anything, but I was just in this bed. And this tea lady is rolling her trolley towards me. She goes, would you like some tea, love? And I go, oh, no, thanks. I'll be fine. And I feel this weird sensation on my hands. I look at the skin, and the skin is starting to turn into teeth. If you've ever seen Channel Zero, it's a little bit like that with the teeth guy.
Mm.
And I was feeling very peculiar for my well-being that I was going to have teeth all over my body. But it was just the hands, thank goodness. But this tea lady didn't leave. She's going, you need to have your tea, love, to get better. And I'm like, but I don't want my tea. And all of a sudden, this little old tea lady
grows taller and taller, and this long limb of an arm reaches out. A little bit, if you've seen the movie Coraline, it's like the evil other mother in that. She goes, "You're going to have your tea," and she's forcing this gloopy stuff down my throat. And I thought, I've got to get out of here. So I push you away, and I jump out of the window in this kind of like superhero fashion. And I'm like, I need to get away. This lady is after me. What am I going to do? And it was one of those big wheelie beans that you find in alleyways. And I thought, it's going to stink, but I need to get out of here. So I jump in this bin. I'm rolling down this main street, and this lady is using her trolley to go at like 60 kilometers per hour behind me. Not that specific, but really fast. She was catching up speed behind me, and I thought, I got to get away from this somehow. And all of a sudden, there's this rock in the road, and it hits the bin. I flip out. I'm flying in the air, and my teeth on my hands aren't doing so well. They're feeling a little bit brittle by the wind speed. And I land on the ground in this construction pit, in this pothole. And it felt like time went fast for a mere moment, because my hands fell off. And
oh,
then
dear.
My veins connected and mingled with the roots of the earth. And over this 6 second, what felt like 6 seconds, but probably took a little bit longer, this evolutionary process, I evolved into a tree. And it had this kind of snapshot of different families and people gathering under this tree, and this narrator of the top said, "He became a tree, and nobody knew for the rest of his life. That's where he lay." And I woke up.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like that? Was this at like 3 or 4 in the morning, or you woke up?
I woke up maybe about 1 or 2 after that dream, and kind of thought, that's a corker.
That sounds like a pretty epic way to die.
The reason why I know that's a dream is because there's no way you would ever say no to a cup of tea.
Absolutely.
Well, the previous track, for whatever reason, it had these James Bond undertones, probably because I brought up the fact that Grace Jones appeared in James Bond. Weirdly, I think you're both going to agree with me here. This track from Thelma Plum, "How Much Does Your Love Cost?" Sounds a little bit James Bondy as well.
Oh, Thelma Plum sounds like the name of a James Bond character, honestly.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Like a villain.
Yeah, like
does
a villain.
Does sound a little fictional. But I can assure you she's very real and she's very talented. So we're going to hear her here. Thelma Plum, "How Much Does Your Love Cost?" on Get Serial Tuesday's Sin 90. Wow. Who chose this playlist this morning? My goodness, what fantastic music.
It was me.
It was you, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was me. Oh, well, got it wrong.
Oh, just that song.
You are joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays, Sin 90.7, with Ben, Tom, and Bram. What we heard there, quite a bit, actually, Thelma Plum with the track "How Much Does Your Love Cost?" And, of course, after that, The Cat Empire, their track 145. You can actually see The Cat Empire at the Palais Theatre September 8th. Definitely check their social media for more tickets and details.
In regards to Thelma Plum's question, I can tell you that my love costs $27. It's quite cheap.
Oh, gee, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's a good rate.
Yeah, how'd you work that out?
Oh, it's the end of financial year.
Oh, of course. It is that good old tax time, isn't
surely
it?
It's not really. It's priceless.
Surely, if anything, that would make you want to raise the price because people have more money.
It was mainly just for the joke. You know what? We do like a bit of a sing-song joke here.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's time in the program where we discuss some of our favourite artists or TV shows. I'll briefly just mention one I saw. It's an interesting one. It's on the streaming platforms at the moment. It's called Evil Genius. It's a four-part series. It's a crime one. My goodness, it's a real-life documentary. It is so bizarre that it's more elaborate than standard crime horror film plots. It is just absurd. It's about a guy who gets a bomb strapped to him, and he robs a bank, and then it ends up exploding on him. But then from there, the whole area of Denver, Colorado starts to get very weird. It's extremely detailed. It goes for about 3 hours to watch all four parts. I was completely hooked. I couldn't look away. I did the whole binge watch, the whole four parts.
Oh,
it was good stuff. So that's my takeaway from the week for people to check out. Evil Genius.
I've actually got a film that I watched Oh, sometime last year, actually, but it's just been so, it's, it was so good that, like, I still watch it every now and again, and it's just stuck in my mind. The film is called Good Time, and it's by these two, they're fairly sort of small at the moment, but they're gaining notoriety, directors in New York, and they're also brothers as well, which is, like, the sweetest thing. So they're John, I think it was Josh and Benny Safdie. They both worked on this film together, and Robert Pattinson actually plays the main protagonist. It's about, it's actually fairly similar to, the show that you were talking about, in that, like, it's about a robbery, and, it's actually about a botched robbery that two brothers perform, and one of them actually gets landed in prison, and the other brother has to somehow find a way to gain the bail money so that he can, get this brother out, and they can go, they can both escape to a farm, which is something that has been a bit of a lifelong dream for this one brother for the other one. Yeah.
I've got two things I'd love to mention. One of them I've recently just discovered. I've been following the book series, but I discovered it was in a TV format. If you're a fan of Twilight Zone and Black Mirror, that kind of format, you really sink your teeth into this. Many people will know Roald Dahl for things like Matilda, James and the Giant Peach, and great well-known kids' stories, but he's written a lot of adult fiction as well, which I was unaware of until last year. And I've been reading the books, but there's a TV show called Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected, which ran in the late 70s, early 80s, in this kind of format where Roald Dahl would introduce a story, this kind of cautionary tale where bad stuff happens to everyone, and it's done in this kind of wicked way, which is very similar to a lot of the stories that Roald Dahl has done in his kids' books, but for an older audience. And it's really interesting to see someone so well known do something really different. And I've also been watching a TV show on Channel 10 called Instinct. It stars Alan Cumming from X-Men. He's fantastic. It's got massive Sherlock Holmes under vibes. But it's really good. It's something that you can really just jump on board. You don't need to see every episode to understand what's going on. Every episode is self-contained. It's a crime show, and it's set up. If you want some lighthearted but TV with a bit of mystery, it's a show that you can easily jump onto.
A bit of mystery and imagination, maybe.
Absolutely.
The about the here, well, firstly, it's good. Otherwise, we wouldn't play it on Breakfast Radio. Velus Alps amazingly sold out five corner hotel shows. They've even got a plaque up at the corner hotel restaurant saying that they did so. Australian act. And they're tearing it up right now. This track's called So Settled Here on Get Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram, 90.7 Sin.
Oh, wow.
That was Velus Alps with their track So Settled. Hello, good morning, and welcome to Get Serial here. It's Tuesdays, Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7. Quite a little bit to mention in the coming hour. We're going to get into more detail soon. Tom has a confession to make. It's been on his mind now for the last few months. He's going to reveal it with us live on the air. I'm scared. Anything can happen. Also, a couple of tracks from MIA, even MGMT coming up in the next hour as well. But now, it's April with the news.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Oh my goodness. Hello everybody and welcome to the third and final hour here for Get Serial Tuesdays. Well, for this week at least. We're going to be back the next 10, so nothing but good news here. Ben, Tom and Bram have you covered here for the final hour. Now, if you're just tuning in, we spoke about our favourite shows, TV, even some music and so forth. And what on earth did Tom dream about last night? Well, I can assure you it was as weird as it sounds. And finally, for this hour, have you ever gotten lost somewhere? What was my worst personal experience I had ordering lunch? It occurred Thursday. We're going to go into more detail. And finally, something I don't understand the hype for, nor does Tom or Bram. We're going to discuss those topics very soon. In the meantime, let's get to a song. This one's a bit groovy. It's a bit crazy. MIA. XXO.
Hey, I roll.
You are listening to 90.7 Sin. That was XXO. O by Mia, and that was Free and Easy by Peter Andre. Guys, it's time. I have something that I want to bring to the air, and I think it's relevant at the moment. Back on our last song, that was Peter Andre with his single that's featured in the new Thomas the Tank Engine movie, Big World, Big Adventures, which is opening on August 2nd. And it ties in with what I want to say. This might shock you, and it might seem very, I don't know, something just very unexpected surface layer.
Right.
But I've been a lifelong fan of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Wait, hang on. So this week-long build-up to this confession is that you're a Thomas the Tank Engine fan.
It is.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was reading The Big Issue last week, and this brought this topic up because I was speaking about this film and about Peter Andre being in it as well. They try and get a big guest star in each film. But what I was really interested, the production team made a statement in regards to this present older clique of fandom who are really into steam trains and all these wonderful kind of steampunk things. And they actually have quite a big ratio compared to the target audience and this older 18 plus fandom. It's actually about 30% of viewership and people who actually tune in and watch it, because about 5 years ago, they had a swap over in production team, and they looked at this and they went, you know what, this group of people watching, let's make sure that a good portion of the material is for them as well. So in that regime, they brought back all like the classic characters and tropes of the original like Ringo Starr series that the older fans really enjoy and appreciate. But one of the other things as well is that all of the original stories were based off the book series, and the person who wrote them had a real headstrong knowledge of railways, and there was this kind of realism that anything that could happen in the stories could exist in real life, so much so that a lot of the original stories were based off real-life events that happen on British railways and so forth, and all the characters that you see, like Thomas and Gordon, all the ones we know, are based off real-life counterparts that you can see out in the world today.
So what would the Fat Controller be after? Like, what would he be referenced after?
I guess he's kind of this depiction of British colonialism, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
like,
no,
he's this authoritarian figure that's in control, and yeah, he's controlling the railways, and every like little asset of the expanse of the island of Sodor, which is the place they live, which has even like bigger history than Middle Earth from Lord of the Rings. It's insane like how much depth and detail is in it. Yeah, there's just so much of it.
Here's my question to you. If your name, and this is a revelation, it's not Tom, it's actually your real name's Thomas.
It is,
I shouldn't have said it, should I?
No,
I did. But if your name was, I don't know, Gareth or Robert, what have you, do you think you'd still like Thomas the Tank Engine as much, or just this fascination with trains is still...
I don't know, because it's always been around. My grandfather has always been a steam train spotter or enthusiast, and it was a tradition that we go and spot steam trains around Victoria, like Puffin Billy and any other trips that were going on around the state. But I also have quite a connect group of friends who are into steam trains, but also into Thomas as well. So it's this thing, and we're all completely normal people as well, but it's something that we chat about on the side as well as normal life. So it's definitely around me. I don't know if it would remain the same, but there is definitely that connection with the name as well.
Bram, yeah. You wanted to share with us an experience you had just recently.
Oh, yeah. So, the topic that we'll be talking about at the moment is if we've ever gotten lost somewhere. Now, this is a place that I haven't gotten lost at, but it's a place that a friend has told me that, like, getting lost at is a thing. Like, people actually, like, this is something that this place is known for. So, I was with this friend, and I hope that they're listening out there. Jarvis, if you're listening,
hello,
I'm
Jarvis.
Giving you a shout out. I messaged you, like, 10 minutes ago about this, so I hope you are listening. So we were both hanging out at Dark Mofo, actually, down in Hobart about a month ago. And we caught Alice Glass. She's incredible. Oh, my gosh. It was such a great show. And then afterwards, we just sort of hung out for a bit, like hung around. One of the stories that Jarvis had for me was about the Pines Shopping Centre, which is in, I think it was in, is it in Doncaster?
I think so.
Yeah, somewhere in the east, Underland East Sider, I don't know, sorry. But yeah, apparently like it's a thing, like there's a saying where it's like, once you go into the Pines, you never come out. And
everyone's trapped there now.
I've just been like super intrigued about that. It's like, this is a place that I want to visit because like, is there a chance that I'll get lost here? Like, will I ever get out if I go into the Pines?
Is it a matter of you come out a changed person?
Maybe. And that's actually kind of what happened when I was down in Hobart. I came back a changed person. So, yeah.
My goodness. I got to check out this place.
Oh, me
the
too.
Pines, yeah.
So, I was going to a party a while ago and I live in the far eastern suburbs and this party was out towards Bendigo Way. And I was a uni friend, and she was explaining the train route to me, and she said that the station wasn't on the express line, so I had to go to the stopping all stations. So I got to Southern Cross Station, and this train was about to leave, and I asked the conductor, "Excuse me, sir," and he said, "Yes." And I said, "Is this train stopping all stations?" And he said, "Yep, just hop on, straight on, off you go." And I'm on this train, I'm enjoying my podcast that I'm listening to at the time, or the book I was reading. I can't remember, but I was enjoying it. I was in the moment. And I had to get off at a station called Riddles Creek. And I was going along, and it felt like it was taking a bit longer than it should. And my friend, Molly, called me up and said, "Oh, hey, Tom, I'm just wondering whereabouts are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just passing through Castlemaine. Am I coming up anywhere soon?" She goes, "Oh no," and the reception cuts out. And I thought, I have to get off at the next station. I have no idea where I am, but I just need to hop off so I'm somewhere safe.
Oh dear.
But unfortunately, what I didn't realise is that there were only two more stations to Bendigo. I should have hopped off there because there's a lot more to do there. But I hopped off at a place called Kangaroo Flat. Which speaks for itself. It's a station, a road, and a tree, and that's about it.
And the question begs, did you see any kangaroos?
I didn't, unfortunately.
I guess no.
I was stuck there for a good part of 3.5 hours. By the first hour, I was kind of going, all right, this is boring. By the second hour, I started to unpack my life. It was New Year's Eve, so I was reflecting on the year. And by the third hour, I was having a conversation with myself. So I was very relieved once the train came around and took me to Riddles Creek.
Oh, I guess you could say that conductor really did cause you some confusion and delay.
He did indeed. Yeah.
Did you give him a bit of a stern word after it? Or no, I guess the train had gone, hadn't
it? You really can't.
It had. It was off in a distance all the way to Bendigo.
Oh, goodness. Tom, it felt like you needed perhaps someone beside you to help you navigate through your journey. At least Rob Cantor did, because all I need is you here on Get Serial Tuesdays, Sin 90.7.
It's going to be a mostly sunny morning today with afternoon showers and a top of 16. I'll be back with more news in half an hour.
Thanks for that, April. And I just want to extend the question to you. We talked about it before. We had a bit of a chortle over it. But I feel like this is something that would happen to a lot of people as well. So I feel like you may have had a time where you've had this happen to you. When is a time when you got lost?
I'm not someone who actually gets lost that much. I think I sort of stick to where I know. But I actually remember when I was younger, a time when I really wanted to get lost. Because I used to hear these stories about all other kids and my friends at school about times they got lost from their parents and how it was so scary. But overall, like, now it's a fun story to tell. And I was like, I haven't got a story like that to tell. So my mum took me out shopping and I was like, today's the day. I'm going to get lost. And so I turned around while she was doing her shopping and then waited a bit. And when I was sure she would have walked away, I was like, okay, now I'll just walk in the opposite direction a little bit and then I'll be lost. And so I did that. I turned around, couldn't see Mum anywhere. And I was like, yes, I've done it. I'm lost. And so I was like, now I've got to find her and hopefully this will be a fun story and exciting things will happen. And anyway, so I turn around to go looking for her. And straight away, I see one of those curved mirrors that you use to look around a corner.
Yeah.
And my mum is right around the corner. And so I didn't get lost.
Oh, that's quite unfortunate, but it sounds like you went to some lengths to do that. But I think when we do get lost, when we are lost in times, the only thing that we really need is love. And only love by Zalorus White is the next song coming up. This is Sin 90.7.
Oh my goodness, what a track. You're joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. That track, Zalorus White, their song, Only Love. It's a bit of a tune. My goodness, great stuff. Now, guys, I have to get this off my chest. I had a very bizarre experience last Thursday. I've been really addicted at my local shopping centre eating these Vietnamese pork rolls. So I went to order one and, to be honest, I feel like I have wronged this woman that served me somehow. I'm not sure if I just accidentally like snatched the change out of her hand when she gave it to me, or perhaps sometimes my right eyebrow quivers, perhaps it gave her like a weird vibe or something. I'm not sure. The fact of the matter is, I went to eat this roll in the middle of the food court. Halfway through, earlier on, she asked, would you like chili? And I answered that question like any human would. Absolutely, I'd love some chili. This thing was so damn hot. I was on a hell ride, and it wasn't a good hell ride. It wasn't like listening to a Slayer record. That's a fun hell ride. This was just, I was steamy. I was feeling hot and sweaty and just extremely uncomfortable. For a second there, I thought I was having a hot flush, and then I remembered I'm a guy and that's impossible. So anyway, the first time ever, I had tears streaming down my eyes while I was eating this. It was that hot. And people are going to point out, well, you probably had tears streaming down your eyes when you were watching The Notebook eating ice cream. No, I've never seen the film before. No. It was completely embarrassing. Of course, I didn't have any tissues or serviettes in my pocket because, of course, the lady didn't give me one. And one of the cleaners that I'm familiar with at the centre walked over and she goes, oh, are you okay? And I went, oh, I'm fine, thanks. You know, I'm just having a bit of a moment. It's just so, this thing was so hot, my goodness. And then she goes, oh, did you break up with your girlfriend? And I said, well, in order for me to do that, I'd have to have one first. The whole thing was just completely and utterly ludicrous, and it was an experience that I probably don't want to experience ever again. So there you go. My word, what a incredible Thursday lunch that was. And then the worst thing is I had to bear it and then simply just walk back into work like nothing happened, like everything was back to normal. It's one of those crazy, crazy Tuesdays here on Sin 90.7. It's all about Get Serial. One of my favourite bands, He Is Legend. This is a great track. It's called Silent Gold from their album Few, which was released in 2017. You're listening to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Sin 90.7.
Oh my giddy aunts! You are listening to Sin 90.7. It is 8:43. Oh my goodness, that was He Is Legend, Silent Gold. And what gold that was indeedly do. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to jump to another topic, fellas. I want to ask you something. Is there something, could be anything, trends, sport, music, TV, is there something you don't get hype for?
Well, firstly, that previous track we heard from He Is Legend, that band has been around for 15 years. They've got like 40,000 fans on their Facebook page. They should be huge. They are so good. They've released like 5 quality albums. I'll be honest, and I'm not here to trash the group whatsoever. I personally don't get this hype for Foo Fighters. Whatever this constant Dave Grohl worship that I read about in all these articles and so forth, my ears just haven't heard, obviously, what everyone else is hearing. Yeah. So that's one of them for me.
Oh, okay. So, might be a bit of a controversial opinion. I'm sorry if it stirs up a social media fight, but
it's all good.
I don't get, like, the whole pop vinyl craze. Like, that's just me. I don't get why it's such a big thing. Like, I do sort of get, like, you know, their collectibles and stuff, but it's sort of beyond that. It's like, this is sort of me talking from, like, I guess a functional, like, utilitarian point of view, but it's like, what do they do?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think there's that
pleasure in that idealistic view that they're universal amongst multiple brands like Disney and Marvel and DC all sorts of things. But I can totally see why someone would be into them as well.
Yeah, I guess it's just not for me.
I think the pop vinyls, for those who don't know, they're those little figures that pretty much every franchise has released. I'm even seeing there's UFC fighters now that have got their own.
There are,
Just, to me, it's just... obviously, it's worked. People buy these things, but they just mass market these things so much. Like, before you know it, there'll be Sin ones with Tom, Ben and Bram get cereal pop vinyls.
Collect all three.
I feel like that's what would, like, make me get into them.
There is
I had one of myself.
There is actually a website where you can customize your own personalized pop vinyl. So I reckon if there's someone listening out there who is a pop vinyl fanatic and is a Sin fanatic too, we challenge you to create pop vinyls of your favourite hosts, whether that's myself, Ben and Bram, or others.
And once you have, take a photo of it and plug it on social media.
It'll be absolutely adorable.
Yeah, like send it to us over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat under Get Cereal. We're keen to see it.
And on the off chance that you do make one, we'll even get you in the studio. We'll have a nice little chat.
Oh, yeah.
We can have an interview with you. I think something that I don't really grasp as hype is when someone hypes up a book they've read and they say, this is the best book you'll ever read, because everyone has a book that they love and that's close to their heart. And I remember my dad came to me when I was 12 and gave me a copy of The Hobbit and said, this is one of the best books you ever read. And he was right. And it's an amazing book. And another book that's really close to my heart is The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman. But there are others who will bombard you with their favorite books. But obviously, when you go into literature, you are going to have very different tastes and points of views. And I think my kind of strand of books leans more towards the more quirky, underground kind of yet-to-be-discovered fiction or stuff that's a little bit indie. So when people go to these big-name books that everyone should read, and if you don't read these books, you're not a reader, those weird statements that people make, I don't get it. I think there are books that you just look at the cover, you look at the back and go, yeah, I know what this is about.
Oh, absolutely. It's, yeah, books always divide people, don't they? It seems like for something so quiet and relaxing to read, people get pretty fired up over their favourite books, that's for sure. This track, it's a good one. We had a bit of a trip-hop theme going at the end of last week's show with Portishead, their track It's a Fire. So I thought, let's do it again. But this time, Massive Attack with Teardrop, right here on Get Cereal Tuesdays. Ben, Tom and Bram, 90.7, Sin. Oh my word. Hello, you are joining us here for the final few minutes of Get Cereal Tuesdays for this week with Ben, Tom and Bram. Massive Attack there with the track Teardrop. Gentlemen, interestingly enough, I heard this album for the first time when I was in Seattle. Earlier this year, I walked into a secondhand record store and I heard these very interesting sounds happening over the speakers. And I thought to myself, I have to find out what this is. So I asked the guy. Massive Attack, obviously, I'd heard of them. I was already a Portishead fan, which is really bizarre that I would then get... you'd think I'd already know their music. But anyway,
there's always more to discover in the wide world of music.
Always, yeah. Which leads me to the final part of our discussion here this morning. What are we most looking forward to for the week?
Well, I've been sitting around and I've been contemplating the week, and I thought to myself, you know what, I need to get back and exercise a little bit more. So I am looking forward to jumping back on the bicycle and having a good ride around the hills.
That sounds very wholesome.
It'll be good fun. Yeah. Very contemplative.
Yeah. Now, I actually, on Wednesday, I'm interviewing someone, and she's actually one of the people that is organising this workshop at Footscray Community Arts Centre. It's called Sound School. It's an 8-week intensive, and they have a variety of smaller programs that they have going on. So you've got Synth School, how to operate Ableton, so stuff like digital, like audio workshops and stuff. There's also how to DJ, like DJing school, and it's also all, how to do like audio engineering and stuff. Sounds really awesome. Applications have closed, but the deal with this program is that like it's all being run for free, And I'm just really sort of intrigued as to sort of what they want to get out of it. Like, I've already read up quite a bit on it, but I just want to interview this person. And I'm actually writing an article based off of this interview and the program that they're running. And I just want to know a bit, because it just sounds like a really interesting program to me.
And I'm just curious, Bram, you're looking into that program. Do you want to make your own music and so forth, or...?
It's something that's always sort of popped in and out of my mind. But I can't really say that it's a definite yes. I have tried to sort of dabble in it, but it's just, I feel like it's not necessarily for me. I feel like I'm sort of on the other end where I'm writing about it and writing about stuff related to music because I find it interesting. It's just the actual creation of it is something that I feel like I'm sort of a while away from.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's a long process. And then when you start nitpicking everything, it goes even longer.
It's good to hear that we all have something to look forward to. Ben, have you mentioned something?
This sounds completely small and not super exciting to some people. I absolutely love having a kebab on a Friday night.
Oh, it's good fun. And
it's gotten to a point where I actually have the kebab man on speed dial now on my phone. So if I, like the other day, I had to go to a concert really quickly, gave him a quick ring. Hey, it's me. Get it ready. Garlic, chili, blah, blah, blah.
And he was sizzling away.
I got there and, oh, my goodness, it was perfect. Oh, and then I caught the train within 3 minutes. So, you know, let's do it again. That was good fun.
Kebab vendors are what run this country.
They are.
Yeah.
Lovely. If there's anything that's interested you in our discussion over this morning, we talked about a plethora, a mighty plethora of things. Jump onto social media, jump onto Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. And we'd love to hear your response to some of the things that we've talked about. We're also going to put our playlist up there so you can check out all the artists you can support and listen to more of their music. And we hope that you have a fantastic week as well.
Now we'll be finishing off this week's show with a local Melbourne band called Habits with their track Limp. You've been listening to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And we hope to see you next week.
See you later.
See you later.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.